All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll remind you guys, as always, attorney Stan McDonald is indeed the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. Stan McDonald, a longtime practitioner of law, a longtime conservative, and a daily sponsor, like I said, of the Right Side Way. I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. All right, so let's get started here. We are heading into the fourth week of a government shutdown. Yep. I spoke with some folks over the past few days who were directly impacted by it. The general sense is it makes no sense. At what point do Democrats realize that they're running out of clock with no actual result even expected? They have no goals, no end state, no milestones, nothing to hang their political hats on except that they stuck it to Trump, I guess. But they really didn't. I mean, the bottom line is the actual continuing resolution spending bill that they've refused to sign is actually almost expired now anyway. It was only going to be for a few weeks. Well, guess what? We're 4 weeks in. Meanwhile, the troops go unpaid. Government employees are wondering about putting food on the table. Airline travel's being impacted. Law enforcement is hampered. Food benefits like SNAP are being cut short. And the everyday salt-of-the-earth Americans who politicians are elected to serve feel like they are the collateral damage. That they are the collateral damage in the fight going on by Democrats with anything to do with Republicans. Forgotten in the Democrat political bombing campaign, collateral damage. And I don't blame them, by the way. Democrats are notorious for losing sight of the common man while they chase their bigger picture. The things that Dems are saying at their lofty microphones right now are not what the folks that they serve are saying at their own kitchen tables. They're not. And they feel like they're getting forgotten. And basically, it's getting old. It's time for the Democrats to remember what it means to actually be a populist. In one of my recent CNN appearances, the host, Abby Phillip, kept using the term MAGA Republicans. She kept spitting it out like it was some kind of derisive term. So then she came to me as a member of her panel and said something like, "Phil, MAGA Republicans say," and I kicked off my answer by saying, "Well, let me tell you what Make America Great Again Republicans say." You see, she wanted the word MAGA to be a term that the left had rebranded and turned into a four-letter cuss word. But the fact is, MAGA is an acronym. It describes the fact that the Trump administration is aiming for things that actually make America great again, designed to improve the lot and life of Americans. It's a conservative agenda, and yes, it's filled with populist agenda items, too. Things that Americans actually talk about, care about, and feel in their very core. The MAGA agenda, if you will, involves things like patriotism, faith, strong borders, peace through strength, reducing crime, low taxation, smaller government. If that's MAGA, sign me up. But populism is what it is. It is. It's populism. It's things that are popular with the people. And it's not that it's all done to be fanciful or to tickle someone's interests. It's done because those are the things that the people are asking for. It's really just doing and saying things that people care about. Things that are, you know, popular. Well, not very long ago, there were folks all over the state of Alabama who went to the polls. They didn't go to vote for their congressman, their governor, or the president of the United States. They voted this past August for candidates who may not have had the money to even run a single ad. It was all local. Municipal elections for mayors and city and town councils and some local school boards. The kind of elections that too often folks forget about until they find out later that old so-and-so got elected as mayor. Well, how did old so-and-so get elected to be mayor? Well, because some people voted for him or her. And honestly, because some folks forgot to vote against him or her. You see, elections matter at every level. And politicians, well, they actually get elected to serve for the sole purpose of establishing and maintaining a governance at whatever level. A governance that benefits the people within their constituency, and sometimes, from a statesmanlike view, they actually combine with other communities. Sometimes it's lofty, but most of the time, the things that folks care about the most are the things that impact them personally, even at the local elections. It's not always about D.C. Sometimes it's right here in your own backyard. Have they done something that was populist? Can you see it? Can you touch it? Is it what you wanted? When I was in the state Senate, the smallest town in my district was Ridgeville, population 158. In the mayoral elections around that time, I recall hearing that the mayor won with nearly 60% of the vote. The mayor of Ridgeville, 60% of the vote. Wow. Well, that was out of a total vote count of just 29. You heard me. The mayor of Ridgeville won by a total vote of 19 to 12. Did it matter? Yeah, it still mattered. One of the other small towns in my district was the town of Altoona. It actually became one of my favorite places. I still go out there occasionally. An old coal mining town established back in 1900, just over in the west side of Etowah County. Altoona, it's a kind of place you have to want to go there because it's not on the way to anywhere. Population 948. The longest railroad tunnel in the state just outside of town is called the Old Tumbling Gap Tunnel, built over 120 years ago. But when the coal mines shut down, well, the town declined. But Altoona's mayor and town council, they did things in recent years that most big city mayors can't get done. They did things that people wanted. They did things that people actually needed. They did things like they established an ambulance service because it was so hard to get timely response for their citizens. They increased town revenues through all kinds of creative means. They improved the archaic city water city sewer system. They even paid to add a full-time school resource officer to their small rural elementary school by agreeing to annex the school and pay to do so out of their own pockets just because it made their kids safer. You know, they may not make the evening news or run all the ads on TV or deal with foreign governments or carry the nuclear codes, but every elected official, even in small towns like Ridgeville and Altoona, they have a role in this society. And we can't pass up our opportunities to vote for or against the ones that we believe best understand our kitchen table politics, the populist issues, the things that we care about. You see, kitchen table politics, what is that? That's plain and simple, just a phrase that refers to the political issues that affect you and me, our families, our sphere of influence. It's the issues we can directly feel. It's the populist issues. President Andrew Jackson, he had what was sometimes derisively referred to as his kitchen cabinet. He had the official members of his cabinet who helped him run the country. They had the actual authority to make decisions, sign the papers. But then he had his kitchen cabinet, a close circle of unofficial advisors made up of friends and local media, former military colleagues, and that kitchen cabinet is what kept him grounded. It reminded him what was going on in the real world outside the political bubble. They told him what was what in the realm of lofty things of big governance, and they kept him in tune with kitchen table politics. Because basically, kitchen table politics is just a phrase that means it's the things that the average household cares about because it hits us where we live and on what we believe. The other name for it, though, is sometimes, like I said before, just populism. Do you ever wonder why Trump's MAGA platform or Newt Gingrich's contract with America were so popular? Well, they are popular because they're populist. They resonate with the everyman and the everywoman who sometimes feel like politicians have forgotten their roots and they get off on lofty idealistic things that don't relate to our kitchen tables. I mean, take a look at the last few years. Things like the recent infrastructure bill they passed in D.C. Remember that? Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, he came to Alabama to tout the wonders of the new infrastructure bill and all the money that was going to pour into our state to do what? What were his examples? Electric vehicle charging stations all along the major corridors and correcting what he called racist roads. Oh yeah. Yay, said no one. I'd hazard that most folks went home that night and talked about something else at their kitchen table. But when Trump held a rally to say we're going to finish building the wall at the southern border, or when Ron DeSantis took a stand in our southern neighboring state to tell Disney that he was not going to allow transgender ideology in kindergarten classrooms, or when Governor Kemp over in Georgia suspended the state gas tax during the recession, or when the Alabama legislature said we would not allow mask mandates in our schools, or when the mayor of Orange Beach said he wasn't going to shut down his beach for the pandemics anymore and the beaches were going to be open. Well, that's kitchen table conversations kicking in right there, and I'm telling you right now, people began to talk about it. Why? Because those are issues that actually hit home. They're things that people care about. I was talking with a statewide candidate one day recently. This person asked me what kind of advice I would give them for their time in office if they got elected. I said, don't be afraid to be populist. There's nothing wrong with putting some like red meat on the table because that's generally something that people are looking for. I went on to say that 90% of what they would do in office would never be known. It'll be necessary, but it'll be mundane. Sometimes it'll be effective at promoting good governance. But the people you serve, I said, will also need to see that you're willing to acknowledge that you understand the things that actually resonate with them, the things that hit their personal wallets, the things that impact their jobs and deal with their families, the kind of things that people talk about at their kitchen tables. Yeah, some will call it populist. Sure, so what? If you don't do it, then your constituents are going to call you out of touch. Which one would you rather be, populist or out of touch? In my view, the most out-of-touch effort by any politico right now is the Democrats' refusal to pass a spending bill that meets the actual needs of their constituents. I mean, think about it. It'd be pretty populist right now to guarantee somebody gets their paycheck, wouldn't it? Kitchen table politics, man. That's the politics of the everyman. That's the stuff that makes all the campaign commercials. It's the stuff that elected officials actually get elected to do. You know why? Because it matters to the folks that they were elected to serve. Kitchen table politics. Sometimes people in office would do well to go sit at the kitchen table and stay in touch with who they serve. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.